Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
So I'm going to spell this guy's name, the guy that I used to do the show with, and I want you to figure, you got a pen, I want you to write this down.
Okay.
And I want to see if you can pronounce his name.
All right.
Okay?
Here we go.
B-Y-F-U-G-L-I-E-N.
Ooh. Bifuglian. Bifusion. Bifuglian. Bifuglian. Wait. Bifuglian. And that's going to be my final answer.
I'll show him a picture of him right now.
Yeah, you should probably, because I think it's probably going to blow his mind.
Whoa!
Exactly. That's Dustin Bufflin.
Make me a bicycle clown!
The miseducation of Tony Gill continues on this show. Welcome in. I am Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock. We have so much stuff to talk about on today's show. We might even have a special guest pop by later on in the show, so make sure that you stick around for that. I expect to talk about the Bulls, Blackhawks, Cubs, White Sox, and Bears in the next 2 hours. And I'm glad that you are along for the ride. Hopefully you are enjoying lunch or settling in at your desk or driving around the city on a beautiful day. And we are thankful that we are your choice from noon to 2 to try and entertain you and have a little bit of fun while we talk about the old sports-a-roo. The crew, Tony Gill is executive producer. Rick Camp is Rick Damn Camp. And they're here with me as well. You'll hear their voices throughout the show. There's a lot for us to discuss, but we begin the show as we begin all things with the rundown.
Run them down.
The rundown.
This is your rundown for Friday, June 14th. Let's start in the NBA, where the league and the season just don't stop, and it doesn't matter that game 6 of the final is over and there is a champion. But there is a champion, and it's from the home of basketball.
Now the Warriors just inbound, and that's it. There's a new NBA champion, and it's a team from Toronto, Canada. We the North are now we the champions. The Raptors, the 2019 NBA champs.
I like that call. Courtesy of ABC, Mike Breen on the call. The game was back and forth, kind of amazing. You have Klay Thompson getting hurt in the game, coming out there shooting his 2 free throws while he's got a torn ACL. That after, you have Kevin Durant go down with an Achilles. You had Steph looking around like, what am I supposed to do now? Well, I mean, you still did have Boogie Cousins and Draymond Green out there with you to help win. But Kawhi was not going to be denied. He was finals MVP, and he is in real elite company when you talk about guys that have done it for 2 different teams.
By winning your second MVP of the finals with a different team, you join select company. Kareem and LeBron James, as you let that sink in, what crosses your mind?
Man, last summer, man, was going through a lot. And, you know, I had a great support system. I just kept working hard, and had my mind set on this goal right here. I came to a team, a new coach, that mindset was the same as mine, trying to get that Larry O.B. over there. And, you know, this is what I play basketball for. This is what I work out for all summer during the season. And I'm happy that my hard work paid off.
That is the most that you have ever heard Kawhi Leonard talk. And it was heartfelt. And He's a MVP and a champion again. He was incredible throughout the playoffs, and it was a joy to watch him in that last series against the Golden State Warriors that now have a ton of questions. Is Kevin Durant coming back? Is Klay Thompson coming back? Did that feel like the end? Because I know a lot of basketball fans that were like, well, that seems like a real perfect place for a punctuation on the dynasty of the Golden State Warriors. And Steph Curry is like, not so quick there, fam. We all right.
I'm Robert Littow, BSO. When Draymond was in here, Steph, he said that he felt like a lot of people looked at this like an ending to you guys' run, but that would be a mistake on their part. Can you talk about the resiliency of your team and if indeed you had that feeling as well, and should people not put you guys in the grave right now?
I mean, tough way to go out. You obviously credit Toronto on a great series. They went out and won it. They played amazing tonight all across the board. They had contributions, and yeah, it's a tough feeling, you know, being on this side of losing in the finals. But I think a lot has been, you know, proven about who we are as a team and the fight that we have and all the adversity that we dealt with, and, you know, this entire playoff run, and, you know, it's a one possession game to keep our season alive tonight. So we'll be thinking about this one. It's tough, but our DNA and who we are and you know, the character that we have on this team, I wouldn't bet against us.
Okay, but let's see what ends up happening, because that team may not be the same team that we've seen for the last 5 years. Moving on to Los Angeles and the Cubs in a big series. The Cubs front office thought that this would be a big series for their team. Cubs team struggling on the road, but they got off to a really great start yesterday against Clayton Kershaw.
He hits a high fly ball, in fact, to deep center on the first pitch. Back is Verdugo to the wall. Gone! On the first pitch, Kyle Schwarber homers to center off Clayton Kershaw. Now that's the way to raise a curtain. Swung on, hit in the air, right center field and deep. This ball's got a chance. Gone! It has been a couple of weeks. Now it's been only about 5 seconds. Chris Bryant with a home run to right center. Cubs have taken Kershaw deep for the second time in the game.
Yeah, things were going really well. You had Chris Bryant going oppo. Schwarber has been pretty good in the leadoff spot. You're hitting Kershaw. And then the Dodgers just two-run homered the Cubs to death.
Bellinger hits it deep to left center field. Back toward the wall is Schwarber and Almora. That's a home run. Bellinger with a two-run homer, and the Dodgers are right back in the game. Muncy hits a fly ball to deep left center. Back is Almora at the wall, and that is a home run. Max Muncy with a home run, and the Dodgers lead 4-3.
Short lead at first for Turner. Here comes the pitch by Lester. This one is hit in the air to deep right field. Bryant goes back. He's at the track. He's at the wall looking up, and it's gone. A two-run home run for David Fries, and the Dodgers extend the lead 6-3.
So they end up winning the game 7-3. John Lester, you look at his home road splits this year, they have not been great. The Cubs rough up Clayton Kershaw early, but it wasn't enough. And between Bellinger and Muncy, man, that Dodgers team looks incredible. Here's a number on Cody Bellinger, by the way, that you might find interesting. Cody Bellinger is already a 6 WAR, 6 wins above replacement. He is on pace to have a 14.5 WAR at the end of the season. That's pretty incredible.
Isn't he like 19?
I don't think he's that young, but he's still pretty young. And the fact that he is doing this, I mean, he had kind of gone into a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a slump, but he had slowed down a little bit, and then Cubs pitching got him right. So we'll see how the Cubs react in tonight's matchup with the Dodgers. I do want to talk about that at some point later on in the show, like whether or not, you know, if you're a Cub fan, you look at the Dodgers as the measuring stick for your team. But we'll get to that a little bit later on. Let's go to the south side of Chicago, where things look bleak. Memphis bleak for the White Sox last night. They were getting beat up by the Yankees. They had to overcome a four-run deficit, and they fought their way back, and then hashtag stick talk. That's my quarterback, Tim Anderson.
Tim cracks this ball. Center field. Hicks is back at the wall. Gone, we're tied.
You damn right we tied. He didn't even bat flip. Didn't need to. 4-4. And then Leury Garcia, who I give a hard time to, had a really great game yesterday and came through in a big way late.
Breaking ball in the air, right field. Tottman back at the wall. He doesn't matter. The Sox have the lead. Garcia makes it 5-4.
And they hang on to the lead. And they didn't have Alex Colome. He was not available for the game, although Ricky, before the game, was like, look, don't ask me because I don't want to give them an advantage. He went to Aaron Bummer instead, and Bummer got it done.
3-2. He got him, strike three. LeMahieu mystified by Bummer's sinker, and the Sox win the opener of a rugged 15-game stretch, 5-4 over the Yankees.
So the White Sox win. After the game, Tim Anderson talked about how he kind of loves these pressure-filled big moments.
Oh, man, you know, I got my pitch that I was looking for, and I didn't miss it. And, you know, it was a key moment in the game, you know, tie the game. And, you know, Leroy followed up and, you know, put us ahead.
His manager, Ricky Renteria, is really impressed with what he's seeing from his squad.
These guys continue to impress. I thought if you look up and down the lineup, I mean, Pito hit a couple balls hard. Elo had some nice at-bats, you know, didn't chase, kept the line moving. I know Lonzo had a couple chances, didn't come through, but, you know, they all put together some pretty good at-bats today.
They did, and now the White Sox have set up for them a game tonight where Lucas Giolito will be on the mound on the south side against the Yankees. The White Sox are 33-34, so a win tonight gets them back to 500. That is your rundown for Friday, June 14th. And I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the White Sox. And if you listen to the show since we've been on the air, since we started back in March, the beginning of the season, you know that my expectations, and I think they match a lot of White Sox fans, are the expectations on the White Sox this year has been, let's see improvement from individuals. Let's see how these guys develop. Well, a funny thing has happened inside the individual development of the players, that there is some team development. And you heard me earlier this week get frustrated with games that they've lost that I felt like they could win. And I think that that's a good thing. I think that that means that the White Sox are in a better place as a franchise than where they've been for the last few years. I am excited about tonight. I don't know if they're going to win, but they got their best shot. And I know that you don't get trophies for getting to be a 500 team, but I don't know if any of you thought that the White Sox would be in a position, and myself included, in a position to be 500 in June. Now, if you were talking about at the end of the season, seeing the White Sox play above 500 baseball for the last 6 weeks of the season, and that was an indicator of the arrow pointing up for the franchise, I think we all probably would have said amen, hallelujah to that. It's the small things inside of a rebuild. And I know that there are some people like, I don't want to get my hopes up. I'm not talking about playoffs. I'm not talking about even them being a contender for the wild card. What I'm talking about is them offering hope. That when was the last time you as a White Sox fan really had genuine hope? Not excitement. Not like, okay, well, Kopech is up, I'm excited. But genuine hope that there might be something here. And I am looking forward to seeing tonight how these guys react to it. Here's a big moment. This is me putting the big moment on them. I don't know how they feel. But here's the big moment. One of the best teams in the American League, who you've played well against so far, is in town. Your best pitcher, the guy that you think should go to the All-Star game and maybe start the All-Star game, is on the mound. It's Friday night. It's a team that draws. There's going to be a lot of people in the building. The weather is perfect. Let's go. Like, this is why we love sports. This is it right here, where you get that opportunity to see your team grow into something. I am excited about it. I'm so excited about this game. And last night, here's the question that I want to ask you. I don't know how you're paying attention to White Sox baseball this year. I know how I am. I don't know about you. But if you are paying attention, I want to ask you this question. You can text in your thoughts at 670-11, and we'll open up the phone lines too. How much did last night's win mean to you? 312-644-6767 is the number. Because that was the type of win that gets fan bases excited. Really good team. Nice night. Good crowd. Coming back. Your young guys leading the way in the comeback. And you win? Man. I don't know if you can tell by the sound of my voice. You understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Yes. Well, maybe we need a new song for this group. But yes, that's how I feel. I feel great and excited for a Friday night game on the south side of Chicago. 312-644-6767 is the number. My name is Lawrence Holmes. Let's talk about this. You're listening to The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Every single guy contributed in one fashion or another tonight. It was a big time team win, and that's what you got to have when you're playing a team like the Yankees.
White Sox catcher James McCann talking about his guys coming back last night, and the White Sox winning 5-4 over the Yankees to put the White Sox one game under 500. I understand that we are still talking about a losing team. I get that. That I've not lost sight of that, nor have I lost perspective on what the White Sox are in their rebuild.
It's not for long. After tonight, let's go.
Well, you know what would be really cool, Tony? They'd have to win, what, 3 out of 4 to make this happen, but it'd be really cool for the White Sox to be a 500 team as they were taking on the Cubs next week.
Ugh.
That would be
so great.
That would be fun. And let me just tell you, I'm going to be doing my show out there. It's going to be a good time. We are looking forward to our broadcast that we're going to have for Cubs, White Sox, the Wintrust Crosstown broadcast. So this is going to be Tuesday and Wednesday. I'll be out at Gallagher Way. I won't be disrespectful. We know where we at. We know where we at. East Coast in the mother house. Y'all ain't got no love for us. Then let it be known then. I'm not going to disrespect Gallagher Way on Tuesday and Wednesday. I am going to the game Wednesday, though. And even though I host the Joe Madden show, I guarantee you I will be rocking a White Sox cap. And I think Joe would respect that. Joe has been like real. Like, I think Joe knows that I'm, not that I'm keeping it a secret from him, but I think Joe knows because I talked about how much I hated Grant Belfour. And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember. I get that. Because, you know, he was the bane of the White Sox existence back then. But we know where we at on Tuesday and Wednesday. Gallagher way. My people will be out there. Both Cubs and Sox people are my people. Y'all will be out there. We'll see y'all. But it would be so nice. So nice. Shout out to the texter who understood the reference. You got to go back to the 95, but I'm glad you got it. So let's talk about these White Sox and last night's game, what mattered from it and what it's kind of rekindled. I know that it's rekindled something in me. And look, if you want to live your White Sox life through me, I'm good with that. I have enough joy in my heart for everyone when it comes to watching this. I also have some anger, too. Look, being a team that people have expectations for, that means that sometimes we're going to get angry when you don't meet expectations. It was just really great to see them, really, really great to see them win that game last night. Not just to win it, but the way that they won it, I thought was really cool. Out to Beverly and Pete. Hey, Pete, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. I was actually there Monday and Tuesday, so I get your point about being angry. Tuesday before the grand slam by Castillo, I was angry watching that pitching performance. But I was just jumping on with you just to say I wasn't a big proponent of Ricky's boys don't quit. I thought it was, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, I don't know that last night happens, but like now it's appointment television. So last night, you know, I didn't want to turn it off. My wife wanted to watch Chernobyl, but I'm like, we can't turn it off. You know, Timmy's coming up to bat. Sure enough, after Mustard Man, you know, he goes deep. And then tonight, I'm not going to be able to be there because of Grandma's birthday, but, you know, it's appointment television too. I'll have it on my phone while we're at some restaurant or whatever the case may be. And now it's getting back to that point where I'm going to redo my season tickets. I'm going to make sure that we have these games lined up for when this team turns the corner, we get more pitching, and these guys just to take longer strides.
Okay, well, I appreciate the phone call, and happy birthday to your grandma. Have a good time with grandma. That'll be a lot of fun. I actually took away my tickets quite a bit, and I can't go Saturday against the Yankees because I've got an event that I'm doing. I'm doing a Eddie Jackson softball game. So if you want to go, follow me on Instagram. That's usually a good way for me to give them away, at Lawrence W. Holmes. And I'll let people know later on tonight how many tickets I'm going to give away, and maybe you'll go. You can go see the White Sox tomorrow. The forecast for tomorrow is decent, right? Have yourself a good Friday night. I don't know about the idea of Ricky's boys don't quit. I think it's more mantra than real, but okay, in last night's case, it came through. And again, it's one of those things of how do you win the game? How do you do it? That's what was impressive. Someone texted in and was like, you can't talk about the White Sox on the Cubs flagship. The hell I can't. Have you not been paying attention to what's happened on this show?
Yeah, all right, fam.
Here's what we do on this show. We talk about everything, and we have every level of White Sox on this show. Rick Hahn came in studio and hung out on this show. Ricky Renteria has been on this show. James McCann has been on this show. Tim Anderson has been on this show. Trust, we're doing our best to make sure that we cover the White Sox the right way. And I'll just tell you that they don't get coverage just because. Like, we're not sitting here just trying to balance the scales, but a team that deserves coverage, and we're going to give it to them. Don't worry. I've got some Cubs stuff that I want to talk about that I promise you that we're going to get to before the show is over, but there's going to be room. And what I love about what's happened since we started doing this show, Noon 2, is that there hasn't been people, like, turning away. Like, just from a listening standpoint, from the data that we get, that we can talk intelligently and have fun talking about the White Sox, and it's not an automatic turnoff, that this is still the score, even though we're the Cubs flagship. And when it is warranted, we're going to talk the hell out of some White Sox. Elmhurst and Jim. Hey, Jim, you're on the score.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call. And again, thank you for the Sox chatter. Really appreciate that.
when you ask about what I'm excited about, I am excited about what I see here right now with James McCann throwing laser beams down to second base to throw guys out.
How about that last night, Jim? That throw and tag combo with McCann and Anderson.
It's all good. And just seeing how they've shortened the game with their bullpen. I mean, who's this kid, Evan Marshall? He looks great, and their bullpen looks great. But I'll tell you the thing, I was there Tuesday, and I was there last night, so I was there a couple times this week. But as I was sitting there looking out over the field, I was thinking about what it's going to look like in a couple, 3 years from now when all these guys in the minors, you know, even this Andrew Vaughn they just got, and the Roberts, and, and then the pitching staff, when you've got Kopech up and Rodon, you know, back from injury, you got Dane Dunning back, you know, when you get all these guys back and they're playing and they're having sustainable success, much like the Cubs, who you have to respect what they've done and where they are right now. And that's where we want to be as White Sox. We want to be a team that's really, you know, out there every night going to win. The last thing I'd like to say, though, the thing that I'm not excited about, and it's just a personal thing, is the crowds make the lines longer and the bathroom lines longer and everything else longer. But you know what? I'll trade that for the Sox getting better.
I appreciate the phone call, and that was as at the end, as atypical of a White Sox call as ever. You know, that's why you can laugh all you want about the crowds at 35th and Shields, because there's a White Sox fan that's sitting in those seats like, yep, it's great to watch professional baseball and not have to worry about crowds. So, yeah, you're going to get a few more. It took me a little longer to get home yesterday than per usual, but I was smiling on my way home, and that's all right. And there's going to be these hills and valleys with the White Sox this year. And there's going to be weeks where like, ugh. And that it might be next week. If you look at their schedule, it sets up the first half of June set up really well for the White Sox, and they didn't take advantage of it. The second half of June sets up for them to fail. And I want to see how they push against that. Grand Rapids and Scott. Hey, Scott, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence. I'm thrilled to have you on during the daytime. You're one of my favorite Score announcers and never got to hear you much at night. And the fact that you're a Sox fan makes it even better. All I wanted to say is I kind of echo the guy who was on just a couple of minutes ago that I've been watching the Sox my whole life.
Oh, Scott's line just crapped out. That's too bad. Well, it says here that he wanted to say that he's looking for sustained success. And that's what, you know, the teams like the Astros and the Cubs, Boston, you want to look like Dodgers, you want to look like those teams. And I don't know if we're even close to that. I do wonder, though, what would this team look like with a healthy Kopech and Rodon? Like, even if you just drop those two guys in. Because I've been telling you for the last 4 weeks, they need a pitcher and a half. Like, if we were talking about a team that could possibly play in the wild card game, they need a pitcher and a half. You got a decent enough performance from Nova last night. It was decent enough, and then your offense came back, which was nice. Wes Loop and Steve. Hey, Steve, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence. Big fan of the show. Just wanted to talk kind of as long as I've been following the White Sox, you know, been a long time. I was only born in 91, so not super long, but really what I'm excited about is when I see multiple young talents that have that sort of MVP level talent, not saying they will win MVP, but that's kind of the ceiling. I really haven't, in my experience watching the White Sox, I haven't really seen a ton of that in as long as I've been following them. You know, maybe it's occasionally fleeting, you know, like Carlos Quinton was one of those guys, but never really see multiple, you know, instances of that with the White Sox, and it's finally exciting to see them, you know, kind of build around young guys as opposed to when I've seen them successful in the past, seems kind of built on, you know, veteran talent that usually doesn't seem to last.
Yeah, the fact that it's young guys, Steve, and I appreciate the phone call, and that it's you're seeing a trajectory. You're seeing Aloy get better, Anderson get better. Moncada, and Texter said, hey, what's up with Moncada? Should I be worried? I mean, cautiously, yeah. He left with a little bit of back tightness. He said yesterday through the interpreter that he's still got some soreness, but he feels better than what he felt like on Monday. So you're hoping that it's not going to be too much longer, but I also, there's no rush. But considering that the guy was, what, in his, on his hit streak, he's slashing 378, 429, 622 before he got hurt, you definitely want him back. Definitely. Tonight's going to be fun, man. I think we can all add the White Sox to our calendar tonight. And I'm not asking you to do any more than that. But for tonight, add them to the calendar. Consequential baseball. It's nice. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz in the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets are on sale now at NUSports.com. And this segment is being brought to you by Hint Water. Hint is pure, still, or sparkling water infused with a variety of fruit essences, including watermelon, blackberry, and cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available at your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint, mouth-watering water. A little bit more on the White Sox, and I want to share something Cubs-related with you that might be fairly significant. There's a player that could find his way back to this team. We'll discuss that next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Glad that you are along for the ride. I am Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We had a really good discussion about the White Sox as they get ready for what I think is a fun tester game for them tonight over on the South Side with a chance to get back to 500. Lucas Giolito will go to the bump. CeCe Sabathia will start for the Yankees in that game tonight as the White Sox try to get to 500, 34-34 with a win today. Meanwhile, the Cubs are out west, and it's been a rough road trip for them. A real rough road trip. Tonight, it'll be Hendricks versus Hill. The Dodgers just out there two-run homering the Cubs to death last night. And after a really good start to that game, too, where you're thinking, oh, well, you got Kyle Schwarber getting to Clayton Kershaw, and then Kershaw's curveball started to click in, and then the Cubs were a little bit on the struggle bus. Jed Hoyer, the GM of the Cubs, was on The Score yesterday with McNeil and Parkins, and there were a couple of things that I thought that he said that was really interesting. One of them has to do with all the Sunday night games, which I'll get to, but the more important of the two had to do with Ben Zobrist. You've probably been wondering, well, now that they spent the money on Craig Kimbrell, does that mean that Ben Zobrist is not coming back to this team? Jed said that's not the case.
You know, it's difficult for us. We're obviously very sensitive to Ben and his family and don't want to comment a lot. I think Theo and I both said on the air in the last week that, you know, you can't just connect the Kimbrell signing with his Zobrist money. It's not a direct connection. There's a lot of different, you know, revenue levers that, you know, we can pull, and obviously the Ricketts family really stepped up to make that happen. So they're not really connected, but we've been in contact with Ben. He's been in contact with his teammates. So he's obviously working through this family stuff. We're giving him his privacy, but certainly as an organization, you know, we're hopeful that we'll see him in a Cubs uniform again. And that we know, just kind of given his professionalism, that when he does come back, he'll get himself in great shape and he'll be ready to play. So now that's kind of how we see it now. And, you know, we'll keep talking to him, but that's certainly the expectation today.
And then last thing I had for you, Jed, it was interesting that you guys were able to send David Ross to scout Craig Kimbrell, and then I also see him doing your games, you know, on Monday Night Baseball, and he's got a role with you guys. What do you think his future is best suited in the game? Manager, scout, front office, broadcaster, dancer? What is it?
Personality. It's a personality, right? That's the he's gonna milk that for all it's worth. Now, David, the best. I think he can do whatever he wants in this game. He would, you know, I think his future is almost definitely in uniform. There's no question. I think he wants to be on the field. I think that's where he's drawn. And it's fun watching games with him because I think he thinks through the game as a catcher and as a future staff member. But he can do whatever he wants. I think he's that talented. And people do gravitate towards him, which I think is something that can't be taught. Obviously, we know what kind of leader he was. And, yeah, it was fun. I mean, we sent him to see Kimbrel. We felt like it might help the recruiting process a little bit because he knew him. But also we knew that David could evaluate him because he knows what it's supposed to look like. And he caught him. He knows what Kimbrel is supposed to look like when he's throwing well. And his report was great. So he's been super helpful for us. And he's gotten more and more involved this year. He's been in Chicago a lot. He's met the team on the road a lot. And so he kind of jokes about his scouting debut, but he's been a huge assist, a huge help for us this year, and certainly hope he's a Cub for a long time.
It sure seems as if, whether it's Jed or Theo or on my show last week with Joe, that those guys think that guy is going to be a manager soon. That David Ross is doing all the things that put him in line for a managerial spot in a very short amount of time since he's retired. And it looks like he's checking like all the boxes off of the development of someone who wants to do that. And Jed being so adamant about, well, he's wants to be in a uniform, that David Ross doesn't see himself as someone who is going to be in the front office. He sees someone who wants to be connected to what happens on the field. Really interesting. The other point about Zobrist, that the window and the door is still open, and that money wasn't necessarily the money that got Kimbrel, at least according to what Jed said. That wasn't the only interesting thing that he said. There was a lot, and I highly recommend that you go listen. If you go to 670thescore.com, one, you can stream the broadcast there. Two, you can go and check out like audio on demand, so like interviews that you may have missed. Like if you missed Joe or you missed Jed yesterday, you can just click on them and boom, they're right there. What I thought was interesting, like towards the end of the sit down with the boys, they had asked him about the Sunday night games. And you and I have had this conversation before about Sunday night Cubs games and the national broadcast and all of those things. We look at it from that perspective. I thought it was interesting, Jed's perspective on the Cubs playing so many Sunday night games. Check this out.
They need to put us on the air last, but they also, I feel like the country has to be a little bit tired of Cubs on Sunday night. I mean, this is a fifth time this year already, and I think we have, I think you're only allowed six, so I guess they really crammed in all the Cubs appearances in the beginning part of the season. But I also think as a team, I think the guys deserve a lot of credit. You know, Sunday night baseball is really difficult on a team because you have to travel a lot of times after the game. You know, you get into cities late. You know, for example, we play Sunday night in L.A. and we have an off day Monday, but that off day is kind of lost because guys will probably get back at, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning. So when you are a big market team and you do play Sunday night baseball a lot, it is somewhat exhausting from a travel standpoint. And I'm excited to be kind of done with this stretch of playing that much on Sunday night, both because I'm tired of them showing our suite and being on TV, but I'm also, I just think it's time to get to a normal schedule and play some Sunday day games.
That was Jed Hoyer on with the boys yesterday talking about the Sunday night football, Sunday night baseball, and them being tired of being on the Sunday night schedule. And I thought that might be the feeling. Major League Baseball doesn't always do the Cubs any big favors when it comes to the Sunday night schedule. So I understand where he's coming from, and he's right. Like, a Sunday night game, even with a day off, it's great that they do have the day off on Monday, but even with the day off, like, that's a hard thing to be on the West Coast and find your way back here. And luckily, they're set up for night games against the White Sox, so that helps a little bit in that regard.
But Espen's trying to cash in.
Sure. They have become like one of the hated teams because they're so good. They have become one of the hated teams. So
I mean, they know. I mean, Jed, when they took this job, they knew what they wanted to resurrect a sleeping giant, and they did. So it's like the complaining about the night games, and you're a national thing. Like, whenever the Cubs are on national TV, they rate. It's for a reason. So the television companies, the people that own the rights to baseball, they want to cash in on all of it.
No, you're 100% right, Tony, that they are looking at the Cubs as an opportunity to bring eyes to their product. And I will tell you that some of the reaction to the eyes being on their product is not always great, because people don't like that broadcast. As much as I mean, I don't have a problem with it, but there are a lot of Cubs fans who would prefer having a local broadcast and a day game on a Sunday. But it is nice. You want your team to get some love. And I'm sure that there are going to be plenty of White Sox fans that are like, hey, when can the White Sox get on nationally? The team's good. When can we get them on nationally? And then you'll be annoyed, too, because you're not getting Jason Benetti and Steve Stone. And they're great at what they do. We need to take a break. There is some Bears news. Like I told you today, I got something for the White Sox, Cubs, Bulls, Blackhawks, and Bears. There's some Bears news today about one of their draft picks. And every time I have talked about this draft pick with someone, the reaction has been unbelievable. I'll explain next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.